I think anything that can make you feel better and can improve your life at home. So, you know, a lot of the things on mindset and personal development, because we all have time for that now. Instead of being so busy that we tell ourselves we can't get to it. Mm. We've got the time now to go and take some of these courses and learn some of these things. So those are doing really well. Things to help parents there for a while when they were dealing with kids at home and trying to not only keep them busy, but help them with school. Those were all really good types of lessons to have too.
Welcome to the Three Steps to Thrive podcast, where each show will show you three simple, practical, and actionable steps to improve your life or your business. Now, here's your host, James Lamb. And guess what? That's me.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. My name is James with the podcast, Three Steps to Thrive. I'm so excited to have Julie Hood from Course Creators HQ. Julie, say hello.
Hello.
So Julie, I've known Julie for a little bit now, but Julie has a really cool product. So let me tell you a little bit more about Julie. Julie combines her left brain love of computers and her right brain create a side to help entrepreneurs create and market amazing online courses. And each week, she shares via email these tools and resources on CourseCreatorsHQ.com. So we'll get back to that. That's in the show notes. Don't stop the car and type it in. It'll all be there. But let me tell you, Julie actually created her first online program apparently way back in the dark ages of the internet. When was that? Was that like
2002, which was, some people haven't been born yet at that point.
I'm gonna go into, when I edit this program, Julie, I'm gonna go into GarageBand and see if I can find the old modem dial-up sound, so to give people like relevance to this.
Yep, exactly.
Since that time, since her $14.95 ebook that she sold using dial-up internet, that would probably take a day to download, let's be honest. Since that time, she helps her clients create 6- and 7-figure launches and build online businesses from the ground up. Julie's superpower is taking complicated online processes and making them simpler and easier for her followers. Finally, and I love this last line for you. This is my favorite. Julie Hood is an office supply addict and the daughter of the most organized woman she knows. So first question for you, Julie, and I think all the listeners are dying to hear. What is your favorite office tool of all time?
Favorite office tool of all time. So this is going to be so funny. So this is another like back in the day kind of thing. Can I share two? Okay, because there's two that I really like. Mm-hmm. The first one was back in the day when the original Palm Pilots came out.
Oh my goodness.
Before iPhones and before, they were so amazing because, and I'll give you the little secret of why I liked it so much. My husband and I had them set up to where I could do the grocery list on it, and then he would go do the shopping. We had them syncing up together, and it was phenomenal. Because it was a tech thing and he would go do the grocery shopping for the tech thing. So that was one. And then the second thing is these special Circa notebooks. I don't know if you've ever seen these, but they have little, the way they're set up, you can tear pages out of them and move pages around and then you insert them. So they're sort of like a 3-ring binder, but they fold up way better. So that's my other little, I have tons of these Circa notebooks all over. That's hilarious.
Who would have thought? I mean, I remember the time, you know, and it's funny because you mentioned the Palm Pilot, right? And I don't think anybody born after 2005 would actually recognize that name at all.
But
it used to be the pre-BlackBerry. And if you don't remember BlackBerry, think iPhone. So the BlackBerry is the pre-iPhone and the Palm Pilot is the pre-BlackBerry. And I remember that time when things would sync. And you don't understand the difference if you were born after 2005 again. The challenges that existed before from writing a list. And then I remember we used to have to plug it in and sync it manually every single time. Do you remember those days? And now everything is all in the cloud. Like, it's amazing how far technology has come in all the best ways. So
yes, we are so blessed right now.
I think my wife might be soulmates with you. She loves office products. And it's funny because she works for, I shouldn't say this too loudly, but she works for an organization who are supplying home supply because we're recording in the middle of COVID. And well, that's probably now the quarter point of COVID. And she's like, oh my God, I get to buy office supplies. What do you want? And I'm like, I got a pen. I got a paper. What more could I want? Right?
I know. Most normal people are like that. But then you got the rest of us.
So there's lots of stuff there. But let me ask you this question. Let me just dive right into it. So you, and just to refresh our readers, our listeners, I keep calling you readers. It's like interview 23. I still say readers. Interviewers. Their listeners, just to refresh their knowledge, you do online course creation.
Yes.
Yes. So as in people deliver courses online or they have pre-recorded or something like this.
Absolutely. So there's both ways. You can do it live or you can do it and record it and have it set up. Absolutely. Right.
So tell me, this is a big thing. How has COVID affected that space?
Well, and it's so interesting because people, I think, when it first happened, thought, oh my gosh, nobody's going to buy anything. What's going to happen to the economy? And I will tell you, my clients have seen their sales go off the charts. And one of them, actually, April was their best month of the year, which is not what you would expect. And I think it varies with the audience, depending on what you're doing. Their audience was perfect for helping people at this time. But there are a lot of people suffering, but there are a lot of people that are bored and need and are looking for ways to improve themselves. So I was surprised too.
But that's an amazing opportunity. What is selling right now? Is it things like hobby products or self-development or upskilling? Like what is just going gangbusters at the moment?
I think anything that can make you feel better and can improve your life at home. So, you know, a lot of the things on mindset and personal development, because we all have time for that now, instead of being so busy that we tell ourselves we can't get to it. Mm. We've got the time now to go and take some of these courses and learn some of these things. So those are doing really well. Things to help parents there for a while when they were dealing with kids at home and trying to not only keep them busy, but help them with school. Those were all really good types of lessons to have too. So things, if you can think about what would people need right now, what are they struggling with and what questions are they putting into Google and asking and trying to find?
I can see that. Like it would be weird to look at a chart of what has gone off the rails, right? Things like, for example, we have a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old daughter, but they're both daughters, sorry. I don't know why you singular there, but the interesting thing all of a sudden is we start doing home searches like at-home activities with toilet paper rolls, for lack of a better term, or at-home activities that you can just do on the fly. Because we have all these crafting supplies and we have no idea what to do with them. And there are these free resources that are there, right? Which is amazing.
Exactly.
How about you? Have you found that there are a lot of people who are now ready to start their business?
Yes. And I think it's been a combination of, oh my goodness, look how fragile my job and my business is. And I need to have either a side hustle where I've got another revenue stream, or I need to expand my business. I've been talking to a lot of folks who were almost exclusively offline. So they would go visit their clients. They would be traveling a lot and now they can't. And so they're trying to figure out now, how can I manage this online course thing and add that to my repertoire and for my clients to help them do better. So it's been a great thing, I think, to help people understand where else could you add something to your life that will give you a little extra revenue. Mm-hmm.
Tell me about the people who do show up and kind of the people who you just were explaining. Where is their mindset at? Is it panicked? Is it anxious? Is it optimistic? Like where do they sit? Because let me put it this way, I'm going to give you a little bit more time to think about it. How do I put it? A business is never easy. Small business is never easy. There's so many I's to dot, T's to cross, checks and balances. And then that's just creating whatever product you have. And then you have to market the darn thing. And then you have to figure out how to support it. And then you have to figure out how to pay for it. Like all these things that are there. So it's almost like when they create an online product, it's in their zone of genius, but they have to basically create another product. So where is their mindset at? Is it, can you tell us a little bit more about that?
So I think for the ones who were 100% offline, that were the folks that were always going out to businesses, I think they are struggling the most in that their you know, all their revenue has gone.
There is no revenue. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think they're in a little bit more difficult space. The other folks, I think, that have already, maybe they dabbled in getting online or they thought about it, they've got a little inkling of what they could do. They're in a much more relaxed space of, hey, guess what? Now I actually have the time to do this when I didn't have it before. So, yes.
And the neat thing, I guess, as well is, you know, my wife and I are sort of in that space as well, is that, you know, all of a sudden the government is actually paying you to create stuff. Right. So if you, so for example, I sold my boutique marketing agency that, I told you about, I think was like 66 days ago. It doesn't really matter, but and who's counting? Let's be honest. It's only 66 days ago, but I sold it. And so now, because I don't have any income, the government pays me to do this. And no, at no other time really in North America, anyways, have you ever been paid by the government to create something that will generate income for you, really, right? Normally, and this is part of the interesting thing, is normally you're a little bit on the clock. When you say, I'm going to start my own business, you are on the clock right away because your savings are going to be whittling down until a point where you start generating cash. And you hope that curve or that line is really short, right? And to be honest, as you know, most of the time it isn't, right?
Right. So I'm curious, how do you feel about the whole jump without a net thing? Because I know a lot of experts will tell people, you know, you have to go all in, you have to burn the boats. And I'm not quite there, especially for courses, because they can take a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I was just curious what you think.
I can't believe you're asking me an interview question on my podcast. I'm just joking. I'm happy to answer that, though. You know, it's a really good question, Julie. And so I am of two minds of this. One of them is you have to be flexible enough to and realistically enough to say, you know what, something's not working. I need to change something, right?
Good point.
On the other hand, I have Arnie, and yes, I mean that Arnie, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and there was think about this way. Arnold has been how do I describe? Not an amazing actor, a highly paid actor. That's probably a better way to say it, right? He was the younger Mr. Universe ever, right? And he worked his butt off for that. And governor of California. Those three things alone are anybody's single dream. And he was to accomplish three of them. So, I actually have quite a bit of respect for him because he kind of set his mind to something and then he didn't let anybody stop him. And his thing, as he said, his big speech thing was he hates Plan B because he thinks that any effort you put into Plan B, you take away from Plan A. As in,
that's a good point too.
I will try this course thing and then, you know, if it doesn't work, then I'll just do something else. Right? And then it kind of allows you, I think anyways, it allows you to get out of things that you know you need to do. Like, you know, you need to look at something sometimes. You say, you know what? That is not working for me. I need to change it. And Plan B allows you to get out of it.
That's a good point. I hadn't heard it explained that way, but you're right.
Does that make sense? Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But I think, you know, part of, and we're going to spin this around to you again, because I'm more comfy from this side. But I think part of you know, I know you have a lot of knowledge and I know you have a lot of skills, but part of the reason why people go to you is because they need an accountability partner. For lack of any other term, they need someone to keep them on course and they need someone. You are a guide and there's point A to point B, right? But there's a whole lot of stuff in the middle and you basically shrink that. The analogy is you build a bridge or you shrink that chasm to a point where they can make that jump, right?
Exactly. Yes.
So you do a lot of stuff, right? You help with, you don't help with content, but you help them outline the content. You help them probably do a little bit of structure. You probably help them with technology like Thinkific or Kajabi or whatever it is. You help them probably a little bit with the pricing structure and probably help out with marketing. Yes?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Where do you help? And this is a loaded question. I have something in my mind, but where do you think you help the most? Where do you think you add the most value?
I think I add the most value in the one of the programs that we have is called 24-Hour Course Creator. And what we do is break down the process of creating a course into an hour-by-hour system. So instead of getting this really complicated, how do I create an online course system, I tell you, set aside 24 hours. I'm going to tell you what to do every hour, and you're going to get an hour to do it. And that's all you get. So I think that's where we're the most helpful, is because I don't let people spin for a long time. You can research an online course for days and months and months and months, but I only give you an hour. So yeah. I think that's the most helpful.
That's fair. And that's a really good point. You know, and you listeners don't know this, but Julie and I were having a chat before this podcast, and I was just lamenting to her, almost complaining, being like, I have this 8.5-hour course that no one is buying. And Julie's like, it's because you have too much information. I'm like, that's not true. And then I think about it, and it actually is true, right? And tell me, is this a common thing to have? And I think a lot of us are worried that we're not. And this goes with almost any product that you sell, whether it's an online product, whether it's in the store product, you want to add as much value as you can. Because I think a lot of people go into the space because they do not want to rip off other people. But ironically enough, by providing too much value, you're not providing enough value, right? You have too much information. It's too complicated. Tell me about that.
Yes. And I see this in pretty much every course creator does this. And the reason is, they have so much knowledge and they're so good at what they do. They want to just share it all with their students and tell them everything they possibly can, which is a very noble effort. But where your value as a course creator comes in is when you can take that and distill down to the core things that they need, or separate out, I think, into different courses, because we're all so busy. I know when I'm going to take a course, if you can give me what I need in an hour versus 10 hours, I'm going to love you for that wonderful hour that I didn't have to go out in YouTube and search Google and read all these blog posts. And give me the course in an hour and I'm going to love you. And checklists and to-do lists and charts, all of that stuff that makes my life easier. That's what I love about having a really good online course.
Yeah. So basically what you're saying is you want people to create the cheat sheet instead of the textbook.
You got it. Can I steal that line? That's so good.
No, it's true though. Like it's interesting because we, you know, and this is the very first course that I created. So Julie would recognize that this is like a big achievement. And I spent way too long on this. I think I spent like 3 weeks doing this thing. Right. And if anybody wants to buy it, I will sell it to you. I'm going to sell it to you. But you know, the big challenge here, folks, is that not only did it take long, but how do I describe it? I puked all over them, so to speak. I puked my information. I was like, this is everything that I know, and here you go, right? And originally, I thought it would be cool, because I thought like you would, you know, I could like give you my information, and then you would make the choices. So I would call it like the DIY marketing program, as in you would learn all this and you would do it yourself. But now the more I talk to Julie, the more I understand that that's not what they want. They want more customers, whoever you are, right? And kind of being like, this is what you need to do. A, B, C, D, you make it simple. This is how you do it. And that's super cool. So good on you.
And the other piece that I found that I know you would be phenomenal at too, James, is the more you can give individual advice, mm-hmm. whether it's through group calls or maybe individual calls with people, the more you can help them with their specific course or their specific issue, whatever it is you're helping with, mm-hmm. the more excited they will be about the course, because there's something about that personal attention that's really, really it makes such a difference.
Sure, that makes a lot of sense. Let me ask you this question. So when we get into online products, this is always the dream, right? And it's not a silly dream, but this is always everybody's dream. I'm going to have this course that I record and I'm going to advertise on Facebook, and it's going to be an automated webinar or masterclass, and then people are going to buy, and I'm just going to sit on the beach and do nothing while people buy my course, and I get paid forever and ever and ever. And it's so good, right? It doesn't happen that way, does it?
No, I mean, there's versions of it that are sort of close to that, but not completely. I have one of my clients actually has a course that she first created in 2011. So this thing is 9 years old and it's still selling, and it's pretty much selling with the same webinar that she originally created. But that doesn't mean that that's all she did. Mm-hmm. For the past 9 years, she's been building her audience and connecting with them and emailing with them and doing coaching calls with them and building that whole relationship. So yes, it's there. Yes, she created it once. Yes, she's created these assets and her webinar, but it's not like she's just living on the beach and not doing anything. Yeah. So I really despise when I see people talking like that, because it's not realistic.
Yeah. No, that's very fair. And don't forget as well, is the more touch points you have with your audience, this is the other thing, right? We always assume we want to live on the beach, which personally, I'm not a huge fan of sand in places that we don't want to talk about, right? But, you know, we always talk about, you know, the fact that you want to do as little work as possible. But at the same time, the more value you build, and I don't mean more information. I mean things like the personal touch of what Julie was talking about, right? The Q&A sessions that you do, maybe adding like a masterclass for free. And all of a sudden you open up to affiliate deals. And if you talk with Julie, you talk to someone else, you know that affiliate deals are really where a lot of money is made. Essentially, it's like, you know, Julie, all of a sudden she has a course that's created, and now, or she helps people create courses. Those people now need a website. So she can do an affiliate deal with someone who does websites. And so she gets paid. And it's not because Julie wants to make a ton of money. It's mainly because she's gone through all these courses. She's like, these are terrible. These are terrible. These are terrible. Oh, this one's really good. Okay. And so it's almost like she's taken the time to do it, right? So that's another way to make money that is actually better for you, because it takes less time, less effort, and you don't have any cost of goods sold, right? You don't have to put any time into this course. You just do an email. Okay.
Exactly. And you don't have to deliver it. The person that you're recommending then will be the one doing all the delivery for you.
So how many people have gone through your sessions?
Through my sessions.
How many people have created a course through what you've done?
Oh, wow. So the actual course part of it have been about 50 or 100 people. But when I started back in 2002, I was working with, of all things, freelance writers and helping them get organized.
Yes.
So we had about 6,000 people that we were working with.
Oh my goodness.
And it was a great group of folks. I was helping them get online, helping them be mm-hmm. more organized, you know, fit right in with that whole office supply addict person. Yes. But the challenge was, freelance writers tend to not have a lot of income, unfortunately. Yes. You know, they may get paid a dollar a word if they're lucky, and especially back then. And so they were not interested in higher priced courses. And so for all your listeners out there, when you start down this path, definitely think about your price point and what it's going to take and how many you're going to need to sell. Because selling a $14.95 ebook, you got to sell a lot of ebooks to make that work and to make that any kind of income, as opposed to selling, you know, even a $200 or $1,000 course. It's a whole lot less sales that have to happen in order to get even a livable wage out of it. So
so paint us a picture. It's 2002. You have this ebook that you probably have been slaving away for a few months at. Yes. Is that right?
You know, honestly, it took me over a year.
Okay.
Which was craziness.
Which is funny, because you have all these freelance writers around you who are dying for the work, right?
Exactly.
Tell me though, what did you learn from that ebook? What was the one learning point that you got out of it?
Oh, that is an excellent question. There were so many things that I learned out of it. One that I never want to edit my own book ever again.
It's painful,
because,
is it?
What?
It's painful, is it?
Exactly. Yeah, yes, yeah. It was very painful. I was actually pregnant at the time. And so I would take a chapter with me because I had to go to the hospital. I had a high risk pregnancy. So I'd have to go and sit, and they would do all their tests and check on the baby's heartbeat. And while I was sitting there, I'm
prepping
this ebook and taking out sections and highlighting. And so I swore, if I ever do another book again, I'm going to get an editor. The other thing I learned was that I really liked the breakdown. So this book was broken down into 30 days. So I liked that concept. It made it really easy to flow things because I had a 30-day program. And you can see, you know, I've got a 24-hour like I like to give people the pieces instead of just the order. Mm-hmm. Let me give you some time boundaries around what you're doing.
Yes. No, that's,
so those were the two big things.
Do you still sell the book by any chance? Is it still purchasable?
I think it is still online. But one of the things, and this is probably a third lesson, one of the things I did was I included a lot of links to different websites and different really good resources at the time. But, you know, it's 18 years later. I think almost all of the links in that ebook are no good anymore. So that's another piece of it is if you're going to link to stuff, you have to figure out how am I going to maintain this and check it and go through it later.
No, that's very fair. It's interesting, right? Because a lot of what you said is true. And if you go back in time, if you close your eyes for a second and you think back to 2002, that was a long time ago, right? But you also had like frames were still a thing. Do you remember frames, right? Frames in internet pages, that was still a thing, right? And anyways,
we're dating ourselves here.
You're right, but it was another time, team. It was another time. Let me ask you this question. You've had, let's say, 100 people go through what you led. You've had a bunch of people go through your free masterclass or had some type of touch point with you, I'm sure, right? And you work with the 6,000 freelance writers. So no doubt you probably would have kept in touch with some of them, not all of them, but some of them.
Yes.
What is more important? Is it the focus on money? Or is it the focus on passion of providing information?
So I think it depends on the teacher. You have to have the passion for helping people to make it work. I don't think you can only focus on money because it takes too long. It takes too much work. I think if all you're in it for the money, there might be other ways. If that's really all you want is to make money. So there has to be that passion there. But then I also think, you know, we're running businesses, mm-hmm. businesses that I need to be able to pay my hosting and pay for all the services and pay my contractors. So as much as I would love to just share all this for free and not charge anyone, that isn't realistic either. So it's finding that balance between, hey, I want to help as many people as I possibly can, and making sure that I am still keeping a business going that's very effective and profitable. And so the balance between those two, I think, is a challenge for some people. So one of the things that some of my students will do is instead of jumping headfirst into all online and trying to just sell a course or sell a membership or whatever they're trying to sell, they will start by doing some consulting in the area that they know about. And so that way you have kind of this regular income going and you can then step over into doing the courses. And it's a little less stressful from the stage of paying for everything because you've got some income on the side.
Is that where your question of plan A versus plan B earlier came from? I'm curious.
Sort of. I've had this kind of mulling around in my head for a while about, is that really a logical thing to tell people? Is, oh, you need to jump in and assume that it's going to work. And I'm more, I think it depends on your personality. Some people, I think that's phenomenal. They need that. They need to jump off the cliff and they need to go. Other folks, I think, are much more like me that scariness and that, oh my goodness, what's going to happen next? I think that's too hard. Mm-hmm. So, and it can put them in this freeze moment to where they don't know what to do and they get almost frantic about, oh my gosh, this has to sell. This has to work. This has to sell. I'd much rather have you in a calmer kind of, hey, I'm going to put this out there and it's going to go in front of the people that really need it. The ones that it's a perfect fit for, and that's mm-hmm. going to be fantastic.
Yeah, it's a really interesting thing, right? Because I guess it depends on the person. There is no right answer here, right? Because some of us are more passionate and willing to do the work than others. I I think, you know, when I'm probably looking at myself when I talk about this, and there are other people who follow along the cycle as well, is, you know, that entire idea of putting more energy into plan B than plan A. And so when plan A gets really hard, and let's be honest, Julie, things will get hard at some point in time, whether it's you or whether it's one of your students or myself or anybody who starts a business, things get hard at some point in time. Right.
Oh, yeah.
And so there's that point where if you have plan B, you're like, well, there's a boat right there. Instead of swimming this entire way, I'm just going to jump on the boat. And I'm, you know, if I swim, I might turn into a dolphin and sail along, or I could just choose the boat, which is warm. It's got air conditioning and heating, and it's got a buffet, you know?
Well, and I think folks sometimes are kind of sold this bill of goods that, hey, having your own business is perfectly easy, and it's not going to take all that much work once you get it set up, and you won't have to deal with the boss and coworkers. But there's more to it than that. And you know, you've been in business a long time. There's a lot more. You sort of have different challenges now. It's not that the challenges all go away.
Yeah, no, that's very fair. Tell me, I want to make sure we get to your three steps as well coming up. Tell me what you've noticed. What is one common thread about people who are really successful who go through your course?
So the ones that are really successful take the time to actually execute. Right now we're going through it. I did it in a new way this month where we're doing an hour a day for the weekdays. And the ones that are doing really well are committed to that hour. Like they put it on their calendar. They're going to do an hour every day. They're not letting themselves slide on those appointments. And I'm so excited. We've got some really fun courses that are going to be coming out here in a couple months or so.
Amazing. Can you tell us one or two of them? Can you spill it?
Let's see. I think I can tell a little bit if I don't give away all the juicy secrets. So, and you will totally relate to this as a parent of young ones. You know how we turn into a parent and then we don't get all of our stuff organized, like the will and the trust and and the things and the insurance and all that stuff. Yep. So one of the gals has put together this really phenomenal program to help people with that.
Oh, amazing. That's super cool.
Yeah. It's going to be so, like, people are going to love that. Mm-hmm. Another one of the one of the guys is taking his practice where he helps people through really difficult situations, and he has a lot of different ways that he helps them. And he typically works one-on-one. And so we were spending some time trying to figure out, okay, how can we change this to a course model? Because you're not going to be giving advice to an individual student. How can we work this out to where you can actually do this and put it out there that any kind of student at any level could get something from it? So that's been really fun seeing that come together too. So those are just two of them.
It's interesting to see the breadth of course, right? Like when I look at my courses, like messaging and Facebook, they're so boring, right? Compared to what you could possibly do out there, right? Like how well would it?
I wouldn't say they're boring. No, I would not say that.
I'm thinking let's do a course and sell it online. I have no idea what it looks like, but how to become eminently more dateable in 30 days. There, done. And imagine how well that would sell, right? Like, I just wonder, like, how, you know, when you outline your 10th, I'm going to do this. Julie, that's it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to take a course, and I'm going to do this course on how to become more dateable in 30 days or less.
Right? There you go. Well, and you know, wasn't it like, I think that one of the big stories, there was a website, and I don't even know if it still exists, but there was a website called Double Your Dating, and it was one of the most successful online businesses. You know, there you go. Perfect topic.
Right. There it is. All right. Look, I want to get to your three steps. And then you're going to have a chance to share final thoughts, because we always like final thoughts. I find them always the most interesting one out there. And then we'll give people the chance to stay in touch with you. But let's start with your three steps. So listeners, as you know, every week we bring on successful and very interesting entrepreneurs, and we ask them for three simple, actionable, and practical steps to either improve your business or you as a business owner. So Julie Hood, Course Creator HQ, the floor is yours.
Oh, thanks. So my first step is called stamina, and it is the stamina to counteract your brain. And I wish I could say this was unique to me, but I actually found this from Mel Robbins on YouTube. So this is not my, I just want to make sure everybody knows this. This is not my thing, but I came across this and I thought she was brilliant to come up with this, because she said that our brains are designed to constantly be looking for danger and fear. And so whenever you get inspired by something, you're like, oh, I should create a course. Well, you have 5 seconds between then and your brain then is going to jump in and tell you all the reasons why it won't work, why you don't have time, why it'll take too much effort and it won't work. And so she created this system that she called the 5-second solution, where instead of letting your brain kick in, you count down from 5 to 1. So it's 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And then you have to do whatever the thing is that you were thinking about. And she used it primarily for getting herself out of bed in the morning. Instead of hitting the snooze button, she would count down and get herself out of bed. But I found that it's so powerful, because we don't want that reptilian brain to get in the way. We want that smart part of our brain to kick in. And that's what happens when you start using the countdown. So the first thing is you have to have that stamina to keep doing that with yourself when it's getting in your way and stopping you.
That's a neat one though, right? Because I think we all go through that. And there's different ways to counteract that. But it's something that is a common thread that I noticed among the people who are on their way up or people who are really successful, is they've found a way to not deal with it. Let's be honest here. It's something that people keep on working with, right? And you and I.
Away. And one of the things she said is like, the fear is never going to go away. And I thought, wow, really? I kept thinking, at some point it changes. And she's like, no, it's always there. You just got to learn to deal with it.
Yeah, that's awesome. No, it's a really good point. I've never heard of that before. So thank you for sharing that.
Yes. So that was from Mel Robbins. And then the second one that I would want to share about, if you're thinking about doing courses, you do have to do an investment, either investment of your time to figure this stuff out, or investment of into getting things set up, an investment. And you notice I said investment there, because I really do see this as you're putting in the time or the money. And the goal then is to create an asset on the back end of what you're doing. So you're creating a course, you're creating a website, you're creating a list. And it's not spending. If you can think of it as I'm investing in this, I think that's a really helps your mindset when you're trying to think about, should I do this or not?
Okay. Amy Porterfield had a big one on that too, right? And you and I both, quote unquote, know Amy Porterfield, even though nobody really knows Amy Porterfield. I'm pretty sure she's just someone with a great voice on the back end, right? But
I wish I knew her. I've gone through her stuff and I love her stuff. So yeah, she's phenomenal.
That's amazing though. But if you think about it like that, that's a really good way, because it's not easy, as we spoke about, right? And those of you who think it's easy, you're in for, I'm sorry to say, a rude shock.
Unfortunately. Yeah. There's ways to make it easier, but, and that's actually the third thing that I wanted to share with everyone. To make it easier on yourself, find a system that will work for you. Find the person that you connect with that you really like. Find the James that's going to help you, find the Amy Porterfields, find whoever, but do their system, and do their system completely without trying to modify it. That's one of the things I've seen a lot of people do, is they get all excited and then they start getting input from 10 different experts about, here's how you should do things. And I will tell you, just about every day in my email box, I get an email that says, online marketing is dying. And then the second email says, online marketing is a rocket ship. So you're going to get, when you have these 10 different experts, you're going to get so much conflicting advice that you're going to just end up spinning. So take the time to pick one person that you really like, you like listening to them, you like what they do, and then follow their system all the way through. And then at the end of that, if you're not getting the results you want, then maybe go check out another expert and see what the second person is telling you. Maybe they tell you something that is a better fit for your audience. But there isn't one way and one person that has the best system.
Well, this is also what Amy, our mutual friend, quote unquote, Amy Porterfield also says, right? She says, don't have more than two mentors. And it's a really good point. But this is also neat because if the different mentors, if people who have been successful in business, they give you all different advice, it really means that you can't make a bad move sometimes. It's just a matter of executing the way, the right way to do it. So let that sink in for a second, folks. Okay. So Julie, again, the 3 points, can you summarize the 3 points again?
Yes. So stamina to keep counteracting your brain when it gets in the way, investing your time and resources to get what you need. And then the third one is follow the system that fits you the best, that feels the best.
Awesome. So we've gone through a lot, team. We've gone through some core stuff. We've gone through, we talked a little bit about Amy Porterfield. So like she just percolates inside every single podcast I do. We talked a little bit about your favorite office product, which was probably super enlightening, right? Tell us, you have a minute. Tell us about a minute. Tell us final thoughts. And it can be anything, but tell us your thoughts. What are you thinking right now?
So I truly, truly believe that all of us have this expertise that is perfect for other people. And especially right now with everything that's going on, the world needs you. They need what you have. And even if someone else is doing something similar, they're doing it their way. We need your way and the way you teach it and the way you are. So I'm passionate about trying to help people do this in as simply as possible. Let's improve the world and make things better because we're teaching someone something that's going to make their life better, whether it's how to bake bread or how to market or how to paint, all of these things, how to be a better parent. All of these things are so needed in the world. It isn't just the college professors or the PhDs or the doctors that know everything. You have this level of experience that no one else has gone through that you can share with your audience. And so I hopefully after this, everyone's kind of thinking about what their guru power expertise is that they can share.
Yeah, that's amazing. And team, look, in the show notes, I'll put in how you can get in touch with Julie anyways. And she's super nice, right? And she's had a lot of experience in this. One question I have, I know that was supposed to be your final thought, but just something just crept in my head.
Sure.
Tell us about imposter syndrome and tell us how to get over it.
Yes. So that's such a good question because if you think about it, all of us are learning as we go, but do I have time to tell a story about this one?
Of course you do.
Okay. So when I was a freshman in college, decided that I would sign up for honors calculus, which I hadn't had any calculus in high school. I don't know what my advisor was thinking, but you know, we jumped into this honors calculus class. Thank goodness I had some wonderful friends in there and we managed to survive and get through it. But what happened is that we were in this course with this professor who knew everything there was to know about calculus. He was like the ultimate expert on calculus. And so he would come into class and want to do all these intricate, interesting problems with us, but he couldn't teach us the basics of calculus because he was so far from the basics of calculus. He didn't know how to teach us what we really needed, which was the basics. And he actually got mad at the entire class because we didn't get as good of grades on the test as the regular folks did in the regular calculus. So the point of this instruction is that as a course creator, you just need to be far enough ahead of your students that you can help them and you remember what it was like to be them. You don't have to be that ultimate PhD in the topic to be able to help them. You just need to know enough about what you're doing and be able to research and help them with the stage that they're at. And you sell your course that way. You tell people, here's where I'm at. You know, I've been at this for a year or 2 years or 3 years, and I'm passionate about it versus trying to pretend that you're a bigger expert than you are. So I hope that helps folks a little bit with the imposter syndrome. You don't have to be this ultimate expert in order to help other people. You just have to be a little bit further ahead than they are.
Yeah, no, that's really good news. And you know, for those, a lot of those people who want to get in touch with Amy Porterfield or want to get in touch with Russell Brunson, well, I hope you have, you know, $10,000 an hour, because that's basically what they would charge out, right? Whereas you who are just starting, or maybe don't have the bank account, well, I'm pretty sure you don't have the bank account that they have, but you have so much more. It's not just passion, it's the willingness to help, isn't it? It's the willingness to spend time and work through these problems and help them become more effective. And let's be honest, even if they did have an Amy Porterfield or Russell Brunson, you are still dealing at a fundamental level of whatever it is you're dealing with. And so just getting them from step A to step B, you need to do that before you get to step Z, right? And everybody wants to make that jump from step A to step Z, don't they? Really quickly. Well, you can't do that, right? You have to go through all the different steps and master each one before you do. Okay. Look, Julie, it's been super good to have you here today. So thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. I just love talking with you, James, and you do such a good job with your podcast. So thanks for having me on.
Thanks. I really appreciate it, Julie. All right, team, we're going to call the day there on Three Step to Thrive. Just a reminder, every week we bring on interesting and very successful entrepreneurs, and we talk to them about a little bit about their history, but also three practical, actionable, and simple steps that you can take yourself to improve your business or yourself as a business owner. One more reminder, team, if you enjoyed this podcast, please consider rating and reviewing this podcast. That is the easiest way that we can get out to more small business owners. Because let's face it, if you as a small business owner, you work harder than anybody else, and a lot of the time you don't reap the financial rewards. But if you start working on your business or yourself by listening to these podcasts, imagine what you can achieve after listening to one. After listening to five, you have five tips to improve yourself or your business. The way we can get out to more small business owners is through your rating and reviewing. So I thank you in advance. Listen, team, I appreciate each and every one of you. Same time, same place next week, and we'll talk to you then. Don't forget, if you love this podcast, please leave a review. One of my goals is to support as many entrepreneurs and small business owners as possible with these simple, actionable, and practical tips. My team and I spend countless hours finding great guests who are experts in their field, and these people 100% volunteer to be on this show. And one of the best ways to help other people find this podcast is with your review. So if you would be so kind and subscribe and leave a review, this show can get out to more people, and I would be forever grateful. So thank you in advance. Okay, guys, thanks so much once more for tuning in. See you next week, and have a great few days.